Good morning. It's good to see everyone out there. Hope you had a good week. Let's start off our lesson this morning by going to 1 John, the 5th chapter. We're going to look at verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. I'm going to start a series of lessons based around this verse here. Victory in Jesus, like we just sung, our victory is in faith. Now, beyond this scripture here, the rest of the Bible this morning is going to be our text. I was listening to the radio this week, and someone was talking in the realm of politics and about getting along and how both sides need to dialogue and get along a little better. But that person also said that religion needs to do the same thing also. And that struck me as kind of apropos for the way the world thinks. You know, the world thinks that everything should just get along and it should be the way we want to make it. However, God is very pointed in what He wants us to do in life. We have to follow God. One balmy day in the South Pacific, a Navy ship saw smoke coming out of one of three huts on an isolated island. Upon arriving at the shore, they were met by a shipwreck survivor. He said, "I'm so glad you're here. I've been alone on this island for more than 5 years." The captain replied, "If you're all alone on the island, how come I see three huts?" The survivor said, "Oh, well, I live in one, and I go to church in the other." "Well, what about the third hut?" asked the captain. "Well, that's why I used to go to church." Now, too often, we let our dictates in life dictate how we worship, when it should be God telling us how we should worship. You know, a young boy was round in the corner with his hay wagon and had the horse in the front, and he overturned it, hit a rut or a curve or something like that, and old man inside the house heard the commotion, and he runs out, and the little boy's trying to lift that cart up, and the old man comes out and says, "Oh, Johnny, you okay?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "It's been a long time since I've seen your dad and stuff." He said, "I tell you what, come inside, we'll kind of get you cleaned up. You look hungry, we'll give you a good meal, and later on today, we'll just go and bring, you know, your cart back with you to your father." He says, "No, I got to get it up. Dad's going to be mad." An old man said, "Oh, just let it lay there. You'll be all right. You know, calm down and everything like that. And we'll get it all straightened out this afternoon." The young man said, "I've got to get this cart up." The old man said, "Oh, we can wait. It's not that important." He said, "You don't understand. My dad's underneath the cart, and he's going to be mad if I don't get it off of him." You know, we need to pay attention to God that same way. We need to pay attention to Him and what He wants us to do. Now, the boy's father, he wanted him to get that thing off of him ASAP, as soon as possible. But do we relate to God that way? Do we look at what God wants us to do in life and react ASAP? It's kind of like, say, you know, they tell you jump. Do you argue about why you should jump, where you should jump, or do you just tell them how high? That's what we're going to look at this morning. And if we're going to take a journey into faith and learn to be victorious in faith, let's look at some of the characters in the Bible who either exhibited faith or a lack of faith. If we look at Genesis 3:6, we see Adam and Eve. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Genesis 3:11, "And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree Where have I commanded thee that thou should not eat? Here, we have the first example of the blame somebody else. What does Adam do? Oh, the woman told me to eat. Isn't that typical of us? The Bible brings out what so many people do today. But the important point here is that without faith, without absolute faith in God, that what God told them about that tree was to be so, they fell. Without faith, they disobeyed God or Pharaoh. In Exodus 5:2, and Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." We know what happened after that. We know that punishment after punishment came upon the Egyptians until they were let go. A lack of faith and belief in God, in the God of Israel, caused Pharaoh a lot of problems. Or even Moses in Numbers 20, verse 8. "Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, and thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation, and there be strength." Then in Numbers 20, verse 11, "And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and also their beasts." What did God tell Moses to do? He told him to speak to that rock. What did he do? He struck that rock twice. What does that put into the mind of the people? That Moses, he turned on the spigot. He hit the rock and the spring started gushing forth water. We've all seen springs. Sometimes they come out and we don't know almost where they flow from or where they come from. Someday they just dry up. In some places an earthquake causes the spring to dry up. It shifts the rocks and it no longer gives us water. If Moses would have spoke to the rock and water would have ushered forth, it would have showed them that was the way it was. Moses didn't have enough faith to just speak it. God spoke the universe to existence. God, through Moses, could speak that rock to give water for the people and the beasts. Moses was not allowed to enter the promised land, that he worked so hard to get there. Even though we know that he is with God, there were consequences for his lack of faith. Numbers 20, verse 24, "Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah." Specifically, why he wasn't. So how about Nadab and Abihu? Leviticus 10:1, "Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereof and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had commanded them not." What happened to them? They suffered punishment for a lack of faith. They didn't have enough faith to put what God told them to do. They had to do something different. They had to do something more. And they were punished for it. Or Saul. In 1 Samuel 28:18, "Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executeth his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing until thee this day." Saul looked out, and he saw his enemies. And he knew what God wanted him to do. But he didn't have enough faith to believe in God. He believed in himself. It's kind of like the fellow who was walking along the cliff's edge. And he fell off that cliff. And he fell and he grabbed a branch about halfway down. In other words, he couldn't climb up and he couldn't climb down. He was stuck there. And he cried out in prayer, and he cried out to anyone who could hear him, "Is anyone out there that could throw me a rope and save me. And a voice from the cloud said, I'm God. I'll save you. Let go of the branch. The guy thinks for a few seconds and says, anybody else out there? You know, Saul didn't have enough faith. A lot of people didn't have enough faith. Adam and Eve didn't have enough faith. And this is what they got. This was their punishment. In 1 Kings 13:20 through 23, and it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came upon the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thou sayest the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place, of which the Lord did say to thee, Eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him his donkey, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. Without faith, he could not dwell in the resting place of his fathers. Now, in our mobile society today, we don't think too much about where all our different loved ones are buried. Or they may all be in the same place, but they may all be scattered throughout this world. But that was very important to them, that they be buried with their fathers, that they be with their ancestors for all, you know, eternity, so they thought. Or even Israel. In 2 Kings 18:9 through 12, and it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hosea, son of Elam, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. And at the end of 3 years they took it. Even in the sixth year of Hezekiah, that is the ninth year of Hosea, king of Israel, Samaria was taken. And the king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria, and put them in Halah and in harbor by the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, their God had transgressed his covenant, and all that Moses the servant of the Lord commanded, but would not hear them, nor do them. They didn't have the faith to do what God wanted them to do in life. And they didn't follow him. They followed other gods. They followed what they saw around them. We learned in lessons past, they followed Egypt. They did all these things. They did not have the faith. And they were carried away into captivity. They were taken away. How about Jonah? In Jonah 1, 2 through 3. Arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it. For their wickedness has come before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish, and from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, and go into the presence of the Lord. And we all know what happened to Jonah. Once those men found out that God was mad with him and not them, they tossed him overboard. And he got picked up by other transportation. We all know in the belly of the whale, he went to Nineveh, and that he did what God wanted him to do. But he lacked faith, and he ran away and ran from the presence of God. But God found, you can't run away from the presence of God. But how about some faithful men? How about Noah and the ark? It never rained, but God told him it would rain. He told him to preach, and he didn't have one convert other than him and his family that went into the ark, the 8 people. And yet, the people didn't have faith with them, and they perished. Or Abraham and the sacrifice. Can you imagine that God would order you or command you to slay your only son, your only begotten son? It's kind of the archetype of Christ and what God allowed to happen. And I can imagine that as Abraham went there, Oh, the heaviness of his heart. How he felt that he had to do this. But throughout all that, what did he have? He had faith that God would raise that son up again if he had to slay him. And that he would live. He believed in the promise of God. And you can imagine him grabbing that knife with a sweaty palm. And imagine how that handle cut into his hand. And how he raised his hand to do what God wanted him to do. Knowing full well what he was going to do to his only son. And then the angel grabs his hand and stops him from doing that. What faith that took to go ahead and do that, trusting God. You know, Abraham had probably seen many people die. Abraham fought battles to free his nephew Lot against other people. He knew no one came back from a mortal wound. But God commanded him to do it. That is faith. That tells you something. That is faith. We could go on and on with all the different folks who showed a lack of faith and those who showed great faith. But they're all the same. Because God rewards and takes as his children those who have faith. They are of God. Those without faith stray away from him. Or we could look at in the book of Judges. Lack of faith, captivity and wars. Faith comes back, God raises a judge to free them. And on in the book of Judges just goes on over and over again. So, there's this guy who had been lost and walking in the desert for about 2 weeks. One hot day, he sees the home of a missionary. Tired and weak, he crawls up to the house and he collapses on the doorstep. The missionary finds him and nurses him back to health. Feeling better, the man asks the missionary for directions to the nearest town. On his way out the back door, he sees a horse. He goes back into the house and he asks if he could borrow the horse and give it back to him whenever he reaches town. The missionary says, "Sure, but there's something special about this horse that you need to know. You have to say thank God to make it go and amen to make it stop. It's a very religious horse." Not paying much attention, the guy says, "Ah, sure, okay." You know. So he gets on the horse and he says, "Thank God," and the horse starts walking. He says, thank God," and starts trotting. And pretty soon, a few more thank gods, and the horse is galloping down the road. And the horse is really going. He keeps on going, and then all of a sudden, he sees a cliff edge coming out of the woods that he's coming up to. And he does everything he can to make the horse stop. He's pulling on the reins with all his might, and then he remembers, he says, "Whoa, I got to stop and hold on." He says, "Oh, I remember. Hang in." And the horse just stops right at the edge of the cliff. Man wipes his brow and says, "Oh, thank God." You know, if we have faith in God, if we follow his commandments, like this fellow should have followed the commandments of the missionary, then he would not have been in the trouble he was in. This illustrates the consequences between doing what God wants us to do and what he doesn't want us to do. If you want a victorious life, if you want victory in Jesus, or victory in Christ, you want to have a victorious life, a great Christian life, then the first thing you have to know is why we should have faith and why we shouldn't have faith. And what happened to all these folks back here who did and didn't have faith and the consequences thereof. And that's good to have an idea that I want to do something. You have an idea that I'm going to go on a diet. Well, the first thing you need to know is what kind of diet. What works for me? What works for somebody else? It's simply not enough to say, "Well, I'm going to go on a diet. I'm going to go on a diet. I'm going to go on a diet." That's like saying, "I have faith. I have faith. I have faith." But if you don't do anything with your faith, or don't do anything about your faith, then what do you really got? Just an idea that you're going to go on a diet. Or just an idea that you're going to have faith. And just like the diet, you'll never lose weight. And if you don't have real faith, you'll never gain the kingdom of God. And you'll never live this life joyous, victorious, happy, without fear of punishment, and without fear of what the inevitable holds for each and every one of us. And this is just our start on this journey. I don't know what your needs may be this morning, or what your condition is, but whatever it may be, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?